Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. One policy objective that's brought at least a measure of common ground to our politically divided state and nation in recent years is the acute need for criminal justice reform. After decades of incessant get-tough-on-crime policies that led to the discriminatory and unsustainable phenomenon that many refer to as mass incarceration, progressives and conservatives alike are rethinking several basic premises of why and how we criminalize behavior and imprison people. Recently, I got a chance to talk with one of the leaders in our state in the fight for reforming our police, courts, and jails, the executive director of the Durham-based nonprofit Emancipate North Carolina, Attorney Dawn Blagrove. Welcome to News and Views. Thank you so much for being with us.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So Emancipate NC, a lot of people may have heard it, but a lot of people may not have. Remind our audience, who is Emancipate NC? What is this organization that you lead, and what are some of the big areas of emphasis?
Emancipate NC is a organization that is Black-led by myself. I'm an attorney. My assistant director, associate director, is an attorney as well, Elizabeth Simpson. We are an organization that is committed to ending mass incarceration, dismantling systemic and institutional racism, and in the process of doing that, standing with, next to, and empowering and elevating the voices of justice-involved people, supporting them however we can. So that manifests itself through our work by watching us and seeing us work on bail reform issues, a whole lot of police accountability issues, policy issues. We will lobby at the General Assembly, but the thing that we are most proud of is the work that we do in the communities as far as training local grassroots advocates about the policy issues, deep diving so that they can get a conversational understanding of some of the real systemic problems with the criminal justice system, and then giving them the tools to make the changes within their own community that they want to see.
It's an incredibly ambitious and impressive list of issues. There's no way we can go into all of them in depth, but I do, of course, want to touch on this topic of mass incarceration and the movement for the term that's come to be used widely by civil rights advocates in recent months and years of decarceration. North Carolina is a state that incarcerates a massive number of people in its prison system. And of course, the pandemic has only served to make it much more acute, the situation in our prison system, in our jails, the fact that we're keeping people incarcerated and in many instances putting their lives at risk when they may simply be incarcerated for a drug offense or some other nonviolent offense. Talk to us about the work that's taking place there and some successes and some frustrations.
I'll start with the successes because, you know, we always want to highlight the power of our work. So one of the things that Emancipate NC is deeply involved in is a COVID litigation against the state of North Carolina for the way that it is treating its incarcerated folks and responding to COVID inside of our prisons. And we advocated very strongly, along with a strong coalition of other organizations in North Carolina, to try to get Governor Cooper and DPS to be proactive in taking steps. And the only real steps that you can take to truly mitigate the unimaginable harm of this virus inside of congregate living spaces like prisons is to reduce the population. So that is where we began. We began asking for reductions in population. And as of today, the prison population, because of the litigation that we were forced to file against the state to get them to act, North Carolina's prison population is the lowest that it has been in decades. We are very proud of that decarceration work. We are also doing some really solid decarceration work around avoiding people going into jails. One of the things that a lot of people don't associate with mass incarceration is the growing number of people who sit for extended periods of time inside of rural jails. There is a boom while urban areas are seeing a decline in their jail populations overall, rural areas are trending upwards. And the reasons for that are multifold. But one of the primary reasons, one of the primary drivers, is there's an economic incentive for rural economies to invest in incarceration and invest in the carceral system as a way to earn income for their counties. So one of the things that we're doing to combat that is working with local law enforcement, that being the sheriff and local city police departments, to get them to use a policy called cite and release, which essentially would mean it would avoid people going into the jail. It would avoid people having to try to come up with money for bond so that they could be released and buy their freedom while they await trial. We have been very successful in Wilson County with cite and release policy implementations, and the Wilson County Sheriff and the Wilson City Police Chief have both adopted aggressively cite and release policies that we believe have been instrumental in reducing the number of folks who go into the carceral system because of bonds and deal with the collateral consequences of being jailed because they simply can't afford to pay to get out. So those are some of the successes. Some of the struggles are still, right in this moment, our biggest struggle is COVID, right? And the way it is ravishing people inside of prisons and jails. We are hearing and we get reports because of the way we show up in the community and all over the state. We get calls on a regular basis from family members of incarcerated people, family members of detained people who are alerting us to just atrocities that are happening. So on a daily basis, we get calls about COVID outbreaks in jails across the state or inhumane treatments that are happening inside of some of our prison facilities that is not being accurately reflected by DPS in their reporting as they are mandated to report through their litigation, through the litigation that we're doing. So we want to get people out of jail. What we want is to abolish the carceral system. So we are working very, very hard to change the paradigms that we have around safety and community. We have been instrumental in carrying the flag of defunding police departments, and which is a scary term, and it is a hashtag that is a very complicated concept. But really what it means is that we would like to see cities, states, municipalities invest in people instead of investing in carceral systems. What we believe and what we know for sure is that crime and carceral involvement is driven by poverty. So what we believe is that if we are proactive, we are, as a society, to undermine the social ills that lead to poverty, we will ultimately create a society where we do not need the carceral system in the way that it presents itself now. We do not need police in the way that we need them now. We don't need them to function in the way that we see them function now. But translating that very complicated, nuanced policy shift, paradigm shift in social thinking, translating that to the masses in a way that is digestible is our biggest challenge right now.
Boy, I wish we had about 2 hours to talk about that because there's so many questions I want to ask you. But unfortunately, we're getting near the end of our time. I'm talking to Dawn Blagrove, who's the executive director of Emancipate North Carolina. One question, maybe this is a slightly hopeful note we can talk about, which is that it seems to me from a distance, as a person who's essentially a layperson, a commentator, is that there seems to be that this issue of mass incarceration and the desperate need to change it is something maybe that has begun to penetrate the consciousness even of some people on the right. We're starting to see some indications, perhaps, maybe it's motivated simply by wanting to save money, but we seem to be getting some indications that some people on the right, this is one issue maybe where there's some common ground, that the right is realizing that we can't keep going like we have been. Do you have any sense of optimism that this is an area where maybe we can actually find some common ground in society in this divided time?
Actually, I have a huge sense of optimism in this moment that we can make some really transformative changes to the way we think about the way the carceral system should exist and the function of the carceral system in our society. I think that what we've seen over the last year has kind of been a perfect storm of deep thinking and consciousness as it relates to the way we conduct ourselves and the way we treat the least of us. Mm-hmm. And because of COVID, when everybody is home and kind of the whole world stopped, and then we watched, all of us watched George Floyd be murdered slowly in mm-hmm. public by people who are supposed to serve and protect the public, you couldn't turn away because there was really nowhere else for you to turn. And the inability to turn away from that horror and that carnage was transformative to the American psyche in a way that I think very few other, I mean, I think there are some watershed moments in American history where we've seen similar types of transformative events. What first comes to mind is the bombing in Birmingham, where the four little girls were killed in, mm-hmm. in the church. Those are transformative moments, moments where America pauses, looks in the mirror, sees the horrors of itself, and is embarrassed and ashamed, and is willing and ready to make the changes necessary to be better. So that reflection is one that is easier to stomach. So I think that this moment is like that. It is one of those watershed moments where the American people are ready, the whole world is watching, and the American folks are ready to acknowledge that we've got some deep-seated issues with the way law enforcement interacts with Black and brown people in this country, the role that we expect law enforcement to play. And really, folks are prepared to do some serious deep diving into the underlying belief systems that they have about law enforcement, about the carceral system, and whether or not those belief systems are based in anything that is real, or if they are really based just in visceral fear-mongering, which I think is true. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as we continue to push the narrative, you know, as long as folks like you and Policy Watch continue to elevate this narrative and give organizations like Emancipate and See the opportunity to kind of recast the die for the community as it relates to thinking about these issues, challenging some of our beliefs about what it takes to be safe, understanding that we can keep ourselves safe and that there is a better way to move towards safe communities where everyone in America is able to achieve and attain the American dream in a way that is holistic. And that's really what this is about. This is about an intersectional paradigm shift away from the haves and the have-nots and towards making everyone whole. Because when everyone is whole, everyone has affordable housing, everyone has a living wage, everyone has schools that their children can go to where they are not being criminalized, everyone has access to health care in a way that is real and tangible, then what we find is that everyone rises. And that's really the work of Emancipate and See, is to elevate those disparities, especially as they relate to the criminal justice system, help people see the intersectionality of poverty and all of these social ills, including the carceral system, and then really think critically about ways that we can make it better for everyone. And everybody can rise.
Wow, Dawn. Well, our listeners now know why you're one of the most important up-and-coming voices in our state. Thank you for your leadership on these issues. There's so much I want to ask you and talk about. I hope you'd be willing to come on and do this again real soon. I want to talk to you about structural racism and restorative justice and bail reform and raise the age. There's a whole raft of issues we need to talk about. We'll do this again real soon.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. It has been my absolute pleasure to talk to you. We are honored to be considered one of the leading voices in the state. We don't take that moniker lightly.
Well, check them out at emancipatenc.org. Dawn, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Coming up next, a closer look at the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol and the need to combat domestic terrorism with a pair of national experts. Stay with us.